COVID-19 has killed nearly 600,000 Americans now, an incredible tragedy. Things are getting better, though, and we're starting to unpack the response that our country has had to the virus. To do that, we're joined by Dr. Marty McCary, a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. He's a New York Times best-selling author of a book called The Price We Pay, and we'll get to his latest update on that in a moment. He also wrote an op-ed this week that was published in the Wall Street Journal on the power of natural immunity as well, and you can find that too. But Dr. McCary, appreciate your time. First off, tell us about the update to your book.
Well, thanks, John. It's great to be with you. Yeah, I'm really excited about the new paperback edition of the book, The Price We Pay. I work to provide a follow-up to every section and also a look back on COVID at our medical leadership, our failings, our victories, with really lessons that we can take away for the future.
What we're here to talk about as we are starting to look at COVID-19 in the rearview mirror is how we did, how the CDC did, how our leadership did in protecting us from COVID-19 in the United States. When you look at it in its totality, we really had one of the worst outcomes of the major first world countries out there.
Well, we also have one of the sickest populations in the world. We have medicated, comorbid, disabled populations in the world and in the history of the world. And that's what drove our high rates of fatality. If you look at those disproportionately affected, minority communities where obesity, diabetes, and other comorbidities are more common. It's nothing intrinsic to those who are African American or Hispanic. It has to do with the associated comorbidities. That's something that we did not get good data on early in the pandemic. It was only a month ago that the CDC released the study showing that 78% of all COVID hospitalizations were in people obese or overweight. We should have had that piece of data in the beginning. And the failure to get good data out quickly, John, really created a vacuum of knowledge. And guess what filled that vacuum? A lot of political opinions. The country was begging for answers to the most basic questions last spring. How many people are asymptomatic? Who's affected the most? How does it spread? Do masks work? Very plausible clinical questions that doctors were trying to answer with research studies, but they couldn't get funding for those studies. So guess what happened? Political opinions answered those questions, and it was chaos. And that's how we got off really behind the eight ball.
It led to mass confusion, but also mask confusion as well. How do you think that's played out in some general mistrust, especially when it comes to, I mean, obviously there's a group of the population, a large group of the population that wanted to be first in line to get their vaccine as soon as they could. But then there's a group, obviously, and I think we're seeing now that it's going to still take a lot of convincing for them.
And the mask mistake, the failure to give good guidance on masking by our medical leadership, to be honest with you, Asian countries were and are still laughing at us for that mistake when they see how we've struggled with this. I was talking to someone yesterday in China, and because, as you know, some of that guidance came out in some of the emails, and it was a group think. It wasn't just one individual. The group think was to say, look, we think this was the influenza model of surface transmission. We were wrong. We told people to stay inside their homes. We were wrong. We should have told them to get outside where it's safer. I wrote the first mainstream article calling for universal masking last spring in the New York Times. I took a lot of arrows for that, a lot of criticism, but it turns out that we should have known that SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID-19, spreads exactly like SARS-CoV-1, which is SARS. 17 years ago, Asian countries got burned badly by SARS. They learned their lesson, and so they masked up quickly. I think we're going to see that in the United States from this point forward. We're going to be ready to flip those masks on at any wink of another viral threat.
One thing you point out is the different approach to COVID-19 vaccines that, for instance, the UK had versus what we tried to do here in the US. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. John, this was one of the huge frustrations I had. Look, as a physician and professor of public health at Johns Hopkins, I'm looking at our medical leadership and I'm looking at what we're doing as a country thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this. This is so frustrating. We have a limited vaccine supply and we are using it early in the days of the vaccine rollout to vaccinate people already immune to COVID-19 from prior infection. They had natural immunity. It was about 10% of the country. Didn't matter. We were giving the vaccine to those already immune. And we're still doing it to this day. You know, about half of the unvaccinated in America today have natural immunity. Our medical leadership has been oddly dismissive of natural immunity. And we've had these debates and high-level medical conversations where I will say, and it's not just me, it's a bunch of us saying, where are the reinfections? We're not seeing them. When they happen, they're rare, and the cases are very mild. No one's dying of a reinfection. When you get COVID, your immunity is as good as a vaccine immunity, at least in the data so far. We actually have more data on natural immunity than we do on the durability of vaccinated immunity. So it doesn't make sense when you're supply constrained, especially when you're talking about the vaccine rollout around the globe right now in poor countries, immunizing people already immune, number one. And then why did we do the two-dose regimen when we learned early on that the first dose was 92% effective at 4 weeks? The UK did it right. They said, let's focus on first doses until we get all the vulnerable people immunized and there's more vaccine supply. And then we'll do our second round, and that's going to be at 3 months, and that's okay. They virtually doubled their vaccine supply overnight for 2 months. We should have done that. We should have learned those lessons. And when we made those arguments to our medical leadership, myself and others, they were quickly rejected. Guess what? The UK beat us to herd immunity. We could have saved many more American lives if we had a more equitable, more scientific, more rational, less political vaccine rollout. And so it is disheartening to look back on that.
How do you assess the slow vaccine uptake for those that are left that have not had COVID-19 and are deciding not to get vaccinated? Is that going to lead to another surge in our country eventually, in your opinion?
I really believe, John, the pandemic is over. We are going to see some rolling increases in unvaccinated communities, some schools, daycare centers. But remember, kids are much more inefficient transmitters of this infection, and they don't get as sick. And no healthy kid has ever died of COVID that we know of. The few kids who have died are kids with a comorbidity or a pre-existing condition like obesity. So I don't expect any surges. Now, we always have to be humble to recognize a variant which we have has not yet mutated could change the game and evade immunity. But you know what? Hundreds of variants have formed. None of them have evaded the life-protecting immunity of vaccinated immunity or natural immunity ever. In other words, we got about 63% of adults in the U.S. vaccinated. How do you get to 85? Well, you would need mandates and immunize all these kids and demonize those who are hesitant. We don't need any of that because half of the unvaccinated have natural immunity, which means today in America, 82 to 85% of adults have immunity. That's why cases have plummeted in the United States. And that's why we've achieved herd immunity already.
What is your feeling on the natural immunity that you continue to talk about? Those of us that have had COVID-19 but have chosen not to get vaccinated, what is the thought right now about how long immunity lasts when you've had the virus?
Well, I talked to a lot of virologists and immunologists who actually think that natural immunity is lifelong. Some of us have been recommending as physicians to just get one dose, or you don't have to get vaccinated. You can also wait and see the data on natural immunity. So far, it's been pretty durable. COVID's been around for about 16 months. We do not see reinfections in Wuhan, in Italy, in Europe, in New York, in other places where they had the infection early. And big studies came out this week that I outlined in the Wall Street Journal that show that bone marrow biopsies from research at Washington University demonstrate that the memory B cells and the memory T cells are alive and well and active 11 months after a mild COVID infection. And other research has found that in 1,300 people that had COVID, zero developed COVID a second time. I think you can feel good about it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.